Portions of this program are pre-recorded. This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hi, great to have you. Wonderful that you stopped by today. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to get to. I mean, a humongous, Carrie, a humongous program.
I understand that. Yep.
Dave Rubin from the Rubin Report, Ted Nugent, his own self from tednugent.com, and from Love Grenade that you hear behind me right now. And also we've got campus reform, and there's a PAGS parody, right?
Jam.
You're looking forward to the parody, right?
I'm looking forward to it very much so.
Wow, you lie on a Thursday.
Better be funny, though. I can use a good laugh.
It's not funny, but it's all right. I mean, I had to throw it together watching Biden today. Are you kidding me with that press conference? Mm. Really? Come on, dude.
Seems I got to have change of scene. Every night I have.
That is the chocolate voice.
Stranger's dream.
That is the polo.
Imprisoned,
that is the Sam getting her
way,
done.
It could have been.
Lots going on, lots to get to. Who's that in the background, Sam?
On my own.
People opening doors, going
so
in and out. Get it done.
I got to leave before.
Yeah, I mean, it's a humongous program. Ted Nugent, we're going to start that in about 15 minutes because it's so long and so in-depth. First, we sing. Let's go.
Feeling all right.
Yeah, I'm warmed up today, Carrie. Come on.
Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling too good myself.
What? No? Sing no? Come on.
Yes, sir. Feeling all right.
Wow, overshot that dog.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
Wow, nailed that one, though. You like how I criticize my own singing?
I know.
Yeah,
are you sure?
As I go, I just, hey, this is how I do that one.
Okay.
Yeah, that one. Oh, I totally nailed that one. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Nailed that note. Look, just because you can't harmonize, that's not my problem.
Who says I can't harmonize? I just choose not to.
I'm pretty sure. I've worked with you a long time. You would have harmonized by now. Let me put it out there. Now, I asked you to do me a favor before the show today. Did you do that for me?
Hello. Of course I did.
So this is what I wanted. I wanted some left-wing liberal media outlet and its take on the first press conference of President Joe Biden. Now, full disclosure, I didn't watch a whole lot of it. What I saw was embarrassing. What I saw was distressing. What I saw was elder abuse. What I saw was a guy who couldn't get through a thought. What I saw was a guy asking if he should stop answering questions. Should I stop answering your question? I mean, it was very weird. He's like looking to the reporters for guidance. Now, these reporters, for my money, were asking softball questions. Carrie, will you agree to that? They were asking softball questions?
Some of them, yes. Yes.
I didn't see a whole lot of, although Peter Ducey, for some reason, was trending. I didn't see what he asked Biden.
Well, because he didn't. He was not called on.
He didn't call on him?
That's why, right.
So Biden was reading from a list, which is what Obama did. This is something that Trump never did. Trump just took questions from everybody. And everybody, Mr. President this, Mr. President that. Nobody, most people weren't saying Mr. President to Donald Trump. They're just arguing with the guy. So if you can't, what outlet did you choose to give us the story
from? I chose CNN.
All right. If you don't mind, tell us CNN's take on the Joe Biden press conference.
Okay. Convening his first formal news conference Thursday, President Joe Biden stepped into a swirl of issues that have bubbled up the two-month mark of his presidency, which has been almost exclusively focused until now on confronting the coronavirus pandemic. He came prepared with a binder of talking points and a goal of staying on message, though at times he meandered and at moments grew defensive. The president broke new ground on his views of the Senate filibuster, said he expected to run again in 2024, grew irate at the curtailing of voting rights, and downplayed the prospect of withdrawing U.S. troops from Afghanistan by the looming deadline. At a broader level, however, he provided the American people their first extended look at how their president operates, his grasp of his own power, and his views toward the future. It took three questions, but Biden acknowledged Thursday he was ready to look at reforming the Senate filibuster in a major way, including going beyond just reverting to the so-called standing filibuster. We're going to have to go beyond what I'm talking about, he concluded after a lengthy answer about his promises to the American people. It was a step further than Biden had been willing to go in the past and reflects the growing recognition that most items on the president's list of priorities, gun control, immigration, climate change, have little chance of securing passage in an evenly split Senate. And Biden said he was open to making bigger changes to the Senate rule on issues he called elemental to democracy, such as voting rights, the topic on which he seemed most impassioned. I'm convinced he'll be able to stop this because it's the most pernicious thing, Biden said, of attempts by Republican state legislatures to impose new restrictions restrictions on voting. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle. I mean, this is gigantic what they're trying to do, and it cannot be sustained. Later pressed by CNN's Caitlin Collins if he believed with former President Barack Obama that the filibuster is a remnant of Jim Crow, he said he did. Biden had previously sought to strike a delegate balance in weighing in on items like the filibuster, wary of alienating Republicans or coming off as breaking with tradition. But he seemed less concerned with those matters on Thursday, declaring himself working for the American people and not some vague idea of bipartisanship. Asked about Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who griped on Wednesday he'd only spoken to Biden once since taking office, he shrugged, "I would expect him to say exactly what he said." Pressed later about his reelection plans, he openly wondered whether the Republican Party would even exist in 3.5 years. At his back is polling showing many Republicans supportive of his COVID-19 relief bill, which no Republicans in Congress supported. Biden acknowledged that fact and said it mattered more to him that Republicans in the country backed his agenda than Republicans in the Capitol. "I've not been able to unite the Congress, but I've been able to unite the country based on the polling data," he said.
There you go. Can you reread the part where they talk about how horribly he couldn't keep on track and he was just all over the place and he misspoke many times and he stopped and he started and he looked for advice? Can you read me the part where they talked about how he had to go to cards to know what answers he should give?
Well, I'm still, because it's a very long story. At other moments, he trailed off, abruptly ending answers when he seemed to be meandering. "Am I giving you too long an answer?" he asked several minutes into an answer on immigration. "Maybe I should stop there." Still, Biden demonstrated a firm grasp on the wide array of issues confronting his presidency and seemed impassioned by topics ranging from voting rights to infrastructure.
Is that journalistic, saying that he seemed impassioned?
Well,
and he seemed to have a good idea or a good handle on the issues. Is that journalistic, do you think?
No, seems more of an
opinion. Like an opinion to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I watched it, and look, when I thought he did a pretty good job in that first speech that he read off the teleprompter, I said so. And when he lost his place, I said so. I'm going to give the guy credit. I expected him to come out today and do better than he did. He sucked. He was horrible. He was horrible. He looked like a guy got out of the old folks' home and somehow found a microphone at the White House. It didn't make any sense to me what I was looking at. He looks feeble. He looks lost. He looks clueless. He had to read all the answers off of cards, every single one. Every single one. And it didn't make any sense. He was lying about Trump's policies on the border. He was lying about how Trump caused this. I don't even say that he lies, because the guy is just clueless, man. I don't think he's lying. I think that he believes what he's saying because he's been told to say it. And the whole idea that you've got to read a list of reporters' names off of a list as the president of the United States, instead of just pointing at somebody and say, "Yeah, what do you got? Let's go." That really bothers me. That totally and absolutely bothers me. So I did a PAGS parody, because as I'm watching it, I was thinking, man, this guy's gone. This guy is gone. Now, any idea what song I chose?
Oh, I have no idea.
Polo? The guy's gone.
NSYNC? I don't know.
Sam, anything?
No idea.
It's not She's Gone by Hall & Oates, is it?
What are you talking about?
Love that song.
What?
Dang it.
What's the problem? What's the problem?
This is the problem. Your song What's choice.
Hold on, dude. Like this song. Every voice you hear is me. Listen. You're welcome. Huh? Come on. Even the high voice. Mm. Go ahead. Now, yes, there's falsetto on the main track here. Come on. Everybody watch across the nation. You're welcome. Everybody wants to hear him make his case, yeah. But what he said didn't make much sense, no. Come on. It's plain to see he looks lost at sea. He's gone. Uncle Joe, good old Joe, couldn't keep
Come
on track. He's gone. Can't take more. Uncle Joe should be in a home. He's gone. By this time is up.
Uh-huh. He couldn't just pick out a reporter.
What?
Point to them and say, what's your question? He read a list that was given to him.
Come on, take it off now.
He's being abused. Clearly has no clue. He's gone. Uncle Joe, China Joe, couldn't keep on track. He's gone. Can't take more. China Joe should be in the home. He's gone. Biden, his time is up.
I want to say, Carrie, you're welcome. Paulo, you're welcome. Sam, you're welcome.
What's the problem?
Had you said a different song, I would have played the other parody that I did. But you said that song, so I played that one. I did several
popped
today.
Into my head.
Yeah, well, I mean, I said I didn't say I was watching it and I was thinking to myself, he's gone. But what I said was not all there, gone. And Carrie, you nailed it. See that now? Listen. Let me just very quickly go through it before you guys spew any hate. I think I nailed it because I feel good. I'm me. So I feel good about that. Carrie, what do you think?
I did like that song. I say play it again.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And I didn't say you liked it, but you did say play it again.
True.
So that could be just a network time filler for you. You never know.
It's a possibility.
But Paulo, what do you got for me? Anything? I watched the level of the harmonies, like you always say.
Right.
What do you think?
I don't know, man. I mean, I'm a big Hall & Oates fan, and...
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I don't know.
Come on, I'm singing falsetto on top of myself and the verses. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like a hard pass for me.
Wow, Sam?
I've never heard this song before, but it sounded great.
Look up She's Gone by Hall & Oates.
That's a good one. The actual song is good.
I like Hall & Oates. I'm sure. I'm just kind of surprised I've never heard of this song.
You probably have.
Well, let me just say this. Wait, no, stop. She would have recognized it. Yeah. Come on.
Come on, man.
Sam, go back and listen to She's Gone, and you're going to say, wow, Dad did a better version. Okay. I think you're probably probably going to say that. All right. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We come back to Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent, right here on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you along for the ride. Always great to have back my great friend, the rock and roll legend. It is the Motor City Madman. It's Ted Nugent. Ted, how are you?
I'm doing so good, Joe. It's stupid in spite of the world that's going down in a flaming mass of doofusness. Otherwise, happy summertime. I mean, happy springtime 2021. I'm living life to the absolute fullest. There's a vapor trail of positive energy behind me right now as we speak.
I've got to ask you, did you watch the press conference with President Joe Biden? Did you watch this thing, Ted? Look at that. Come and take it. The signed come and take it flag from Ted Nugent. Did you watch that thing or not?
Joe, I did not. I have priorities in my life. And, you know, once you examine buffoonery every time the individual surfaces to display his buffoonery, I don't need any more confirmation to the level of buffoonery that this embarrassment, this so-called president embarrassment, has to offer us. The guy, he's a bad man. He has bad policies. He's surrounded by bad people. I don't need any more evidence to confirm that in my truth, logic, and common sense lifestyle. I think it's an absolute tragedy, and we better get cracking and fix this ASAP because he is taking this country down.
Well, he is taking the country down, whoever his puppets are, because I mean, he could not cognitively, you know, complete a thought today. Kept losing his place, kept on referring to cards. He was reading reporters' names off of a card in front of him. He couldn't just point at somebody and say, what do you want to know? So it was really, really bad, and we look like idiots on the world stage. So I'm kind of glad you didn't watch it. I, of course, am going to opine about it on my show, but I want to get into some other stuff. Obviously, there is a push by Biden and Harris, and I think it's Obama who's running the joint. Harris is probably the number two, and Biden is just the puppet out front. But we got to get rid of assault weapons now, Ted. My AR-15 somehow is an assault weapon. Now, they call it military grade or military style. You know that our military would never take an AR-15 into war. That doesn't make any sense. But this whole attack on so-called assault weapons and our Second Amendment rights is the biggest deal right now other than the border. What are your thoughts?
I don't have any thoughts, so to speak, though I could dig into an endless pit of historical evidence going right up to recently in Boulder, Colorado. And the truth of the matter is that this president and his whole gang of America-hating, freedom-hating, Constitution-hating, Bill of Rights-hating, good American family-hating gang, they lie, they lie, they lie. Let me put it in the simplest of terms, because I'm a simple man. I'm a pragmatician. I'm a utilitarian guy. I got to get from point A to point B, and I discover the safest, most efficient route to get there, and that's always the path I take. And here's the path to the Second Amendment. Unarmed and helpless is unarmed and helpless. And everybody who gets raped, murdered, carjacked, and assaulted and trafficked, the reason they are victims is because they chose the irresponsible condition of unarmed and helpless. Anything used to assault someone is an assault weapon. And by the way, I've studied every shooting from Columbine to Parkland to Dayton to Orlando to Boulder. Tens of thousands of gun laws, especially in those jurisdictions, did not hamper an evildoer that our failed court system and our failed so-called justice system continues to put in our face every day through their engineered recidivism and ignoring glaring threats to society. They continue to ignore the glaring confirmed threats from neighbors and friends and coworkers and family members that these people are preparing and eager to snap and kill people. No one responds, but they want you and me and all of my legal friends that are solidly in the asset in the law-abiding American column, they want us to give up our Second Amendment rights,
right,
while they ignore not just the most evil, violent felons in the world, the most dangerous people in the world, but then they convict them of dangerous, violent felonies and violent assaults, and then they let them out, Joe.
Yeah.
But somehow my guns are the problem. This is cuckoo's nest stuff.
It is.
These people who want to ban guns, let me tell you, write it down. They are on the side of evil, because when they force you to be unarmed and helpless, they are complicit in the next attack on innocent lives. Case closed.
It's Ted Nugent, tednugent.com. Go there and check out his live streams. He does one every Monday night and then whenever he feels like it as well. On Facebook, go and follow him on all the social media. Get his books and make sure you listen to his music. If he's anywhere near you, get to that concert. The guy, the alleged killer in Boulder, we know this. He's a Syrian refugee who allegedly self-radicalized, who hated Donald Trump. So you can't pin this one on Donald Trump like they tried to with the murders the week before in Atlanta. And here's a guy that broke every law. In Boulder, there's a red flag law, for God's sakes. In Boulder, you're not allowed to go into the shopping center and start shooting people. So, Ted, what I've never understood, and maybe you could help me understand, because you're smarter than I am, we've established that. I've never understood why telling me that you're going to change the law about whether I can bring a gun into the grocery store saves anybody's life when the bad guy is willing to break that simple law of not bringing the gun in while he's on the way to go murder people, which is a much more serious crime. Why? How is this going to stop the criminals? They're going to say, oh, crap, I can't kill the people today because I'm not allowed to bring the gun inside. Ted answers that when we come back, and his answer is amazing, so make sure you stick around for that. There's a lot going on, lots to get to today. It's a busy, busy program. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. If you want to opine, not going to be a whole lot of time to do so today, so you're going to want to jump on the phones now about the Joe Biden press conference, which was odd at best and strange, to be honest with you. And also, if you want to opine on what I'm talking to Ted about, when it comes to changing laws for law-abiding citizens because you're responding to people who broke laws that are already on the books, it doesn't make any sense. It's actually kind of dumb, to be honest with you. But we'll continue with the Motor City Madman in a moment. Make sure that you stop by the website, joepags.com. Sign up for Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. That's all Joe Talk Show. For Gab, for Parler, for Telegram, for all the alternative ones, it's Joe Pags, J-O-E-P-A-G-S. Also, get to Twitch and check out the live video stream where you can see Ted and me doing this interview right now. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by the Joe Pags Show. We pick up my interview with the guy playing that song, Love Grenade. It's Ted Nugent. I just asked Ted, you know, why is it that anybody believes that something is going to change when you now restrict law-abiding citizens from protecting themselves against people who clearly made the decision to break the law to bring a gun into the store and break the law to kill people, murder people? Changing the law is not going to stop mass murder. It's going to just stop people like you and me from defending ourselves.
Bingo. Bingo, ditto, duh. Again, I will repeat, and I've been doing these interviews and commentaries and evidence delivery. I deliver evidence in interviews for the last 50, almost 60 years now. The bad guys don't give a damn about any restrictions on violent crime or the tools with which they can perpetrate them. This has been proven. This is not a guitar player's presumption or hunch. The evidence is overwhelming that we continue to ignore evil people. And we can go right back to Columbine and Sandy Hook in Boulder, Colorado, where their own family members were looking for help for this deranged maniac.
The FBI was aware of the guy, Ted. The FBI knew of this guy and the Parkland guy and did nothing.
Let's talk about the FBI for a minute. Hey, FBI agents, shame on you. Shame on you allowing a James Coney gangster, a thug like James Coney, to be the director of the otherwise honorable warriors of the FBI. The FBI gets information, including before 9/11, by the way. Who doesn't know this? The FBI, they're out of control. They are not a federal bureau of law enforcement. They are now some kind of puppets and weird people that don't seem to care about serving and protecting. Not all of them. Right. Only the guilty need to feel guilty. And right now, some of those agents are angry at Ted Nugent because they feel guilty, because I'm identifying the cockroaches that are not living up to their constitutional oath and their vow to serve and protect. Yes, they knew about this guy. Yes, they knew about the Orlando guy. Yes, they knew about the San Bernardino guy. Yes, they knew about all these guys that were preparing and gave out signal after signal that they're going to snap and kill people. And they did nothing, which is another reason, a self-evident truth, common sense, logical reason why we the people should never give up our guns, because self-defense and protection of lives and family, it's our job, because people like the FBI, they sure as hell ain't going to do it, so we have to do it.
Yeah, James Comey still walks around like he's an angel, like he somehow is above morality, morality-wise, way ahead of Ted Nugent and Joe Pags. This guy, like, walks with the angel. It's very, very strange. I've never seen a bigger narcissist, except maybe Barack Obama. It's Ted Nugent, tednugent.com. Go and get everything that he writes. The articles are amazing. Check out his live streams. Get his music. Buy his stuff. We're going to talk about how you can buy his stuff in just a minute here. But I want to bring this out, and maybe you can opine about this for a second. In Minneapolis, they said, we got to defund the police. Too many good guys with guns on the streets of Minneapolis. Same thing in New York. Too many good guys with guns on the streets of New York. Same thing with fill in the blank in Southern California. We got to get rid of the good guys with guns, and now crime is up 200% almost everywhere. In Minneapolis, they called the police chief in and said, why is crime higher? Why are there more rapes and carjackings in Minneapolis? And they went, you defunded the police. So, Ted, we have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt through evidence that if you take away the good guys with guns, the bad guys start running roughshod over the entire area. I mean, what else do we have to learn here?
The lesson to be learned that smart people, caring people, conscientious people, good, decent families in America have already learned the lesson. And the lesson is unambiguous, and it's irrefutable. And I always dare anybody, I dare anybody and everybody, anytime, anywhere, any place, to debate me on the glaring fact that the anti-gun freaks, they have a dream, and their dream has already been implemented. It's called a gun-free zone. And the dream of the Joe Biden gang, their dream is the gun-free zone, where it happens to be where the most innocent lives are always slaughtered. Stop and think about it, Joe, and everyone listening right now. Who could possibly be so evil to know irrefutably that gun-free zones are where the most innocent lives are slaughtered, and these people actually want more of those, Joe?
Yeah.
I have my dream, and it's the Nugent family, my band, my friends, my neighbors. We are not gun-free zones. We're the arsenal of democracy. We're cocked, locked, and ready to rock the Glock around the clock, Doc. We know that we have a clean handkerchief and a pocket knife and our car keys and a wallet and identification, some guitar picks, and a firearm with a bunch of ammo. We are armed. We are keeping and bearing arms. And you know where the lowest crime rate is? Around people like me.
Yeah.
You know what the highest crime rate is? Joe Biden supporters who have this drug-fueled fantasy that if we could just ban water, no one would ever drown again. We need to ban the water because the people are drowning. How insane can you get? How much LSD do you have to gobble on an hourly basis to think such mindless, dangerous, offensive, rotten thoughts? These people are mindless, dangerous, and rotten because they want good people to become unarmed and helpless so that then as they release violent felons and murderers and rapists, that those violent people that they're putting into our neighborhoods can do with us as they please. And I'm here to tell you, don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. And Beto O'Rourke, I've signed another 1,000 of these, Joe. Hey, Beto O'Rourke, here's your battle cry, you punk.
Yeah, he is a punk, and I call him Beto. He's the fourth-generation Irishman pretending to be Mexican. It's Ted Nugent, tednugent.com. Make sure you go to that website right now and check out everything that he writes, everything that he – look, the books are bestsellers. The articles that you put in newspapers and online are amazing. The live shots are crazy good, and all the guitar playing is amazing as well. Look at that. Look at that.
Can you read that? I don't know if you can read
that. Yeah, it's what does it say?
Kill it and grill it. It's a great book.
Kill it and grill it. It's a great picture on the front cover as well. All right,
you know, I'm just a guitar player, Joe, but I was disciplined as a kid to be an asset to my family, to be conscientious, to obey the laws, to question bad laws, question power abuse and abuse of authority. So I'm 72 years old now, and I got grandkids and wonderful children and great friends, the greatest band, the greatest crew, the greatest team, the greatest management, Linda and Doug and everybody, my wife, Shemaine. I'm surrounded by the best people in the world. The heroes of Delta Force train with me, the Navy SEALs, the Green Berets, the Army Rangers. I'm surrounded by law enforcement heroes and military heroes and people that give and give and give to children's charities and military charities. The positive spirit and energy around me is a perfect indicator why the left hates me, because I believe in self-evident truth-based, God-given individual rights that are guaranteed by the Constitution, like all the good people around me, and bad people really hate good people.
Well, I agree with you. I couldn't agree more. It's Ted Nugent. Ted, let me ask you a question I've never gotten a good answer to, and I think that you might have a good answer. It is obvious to me, to you, to my 5-year-old, you know, children or my grandchild, that the people who are pushing for gun confiscation and to get rid of guns and ban them are surrounded by good guys with guns. Why is it, do you think, that the left in our society, people who are our neighbors, maybe not necessarily your neighbor or mine, but our neighbors who just buy it and they don't realize that Sheila Jackson Lee, who wants to take away your gun, is surrounded by good guys with gun, or Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or whomever? These people want confiscation. You and I both know that, so that they can control and rule the people without any thought process of the people stopping tyranny. What I'm asking specifically about the people, the Americans that get in line and accept the BS from people surrounded by good guys with guns. Why do they?
Well, you know, there's been a dumbing down crusade in America since World War II. Incrementally, we have kept discomforting information out of American education. I was honored and humbled to speak at the Baylor University Young Republicans event the other day. Just hardcore conservatives, God, family, country, work ethic, dedication, man in the arena, put your heart and soul into being the best that you can be. These are college kids in an environment that actually teaches against those foundational values I just articulated. I have watched the dumbing down of America certainly for the last 50 plus years. And so many Americans don't know what the Bataan Death March was. They don't know what the Rape of Nanking was. They're not familiar with Auschwitz. They don't know what the Trail of Tears was, that man can be evil against their fellow man. So in the absence of that painful but essential lesson of being cognizant of your surroundings and watch for abuse of power, watch for criminality, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, I could go on.
Right.
In the absence of important information to be prepared for what is inevitable, that good people will be taken advantage of by power abuses, that the government can use inside information for Wall Street investment, but we, the people who we hire these employees, we're not allowed to do this. There's so many examples of power abuse and criminal corruption in our government, media, academia, that many, many people have become sheep. It's we, the sheeple, all too often.
Right.
But ultimately, Joe, I got to tell you, these young people at Baylor University, Charlie brought me in, and Pete Sessions, and a bunch of great, great positive conservation Texans. And the vitality, the brain waves, the general knowledge of history and common sense, these young people gave me great hope. So I'd like to share that great hope with you. These were really smart, engaged, conservative young people.
Good.
So I run into this a lot. So even though the indicators out there under the Biden cosmic puppet regime are scary, there's plenty of good truth, logic, common sense, God, family, country, freedom, law and order Americans out there. So the prognosis looks frightening and horrible, and it is, but there is also some very positive signs. I think most people listening to Joe Pags, by the way, I get bombarded all the time. Be sure you tell Joe Pags thank you, because you represent that truth, logic, and common sense that keeps the America positive. And here's the most important thing I can convey to you. I just got thrown off of Facebook with over 4 million followers because I told the truth that George Floyd killed himself with fentanyl. That's not a guitar player's hunch. That's the evidence. That's
right.
The coroner's report.
Right.
That the good officer, Derek Chauvin, was doing his job based on the authorized rules of engagement of the Minneapolis Police Department. That officer was a hero serving and protecting, but the system is twisted vulgarly upside down. I said that inescapable truth, and now I'm banished from Facebook, where I have a great communication. And here's what I get on Facebook before I got banished. People from Ireland and Japan, Germany, France, Belgium, Australia, New Zealand, people from everywhere around the world constantly say, Ted, what's happening to America? We all look to you for examples of the last freedom available to mankind. And how did this fraudulent election put this man in position of power that can't form a sentence, that can't act like a normal human being? And why would his family subject him to that ridicule and embarrassment? We have a real dangerous condition today in America. But again, I'm a hopeful guy. I'm an optimistic guy. And based on the people that I hang out with, I'm going to go jam right now with the guys for my auction this weekend with great, great Americans. And I'm going to tell you, Joe, the freedom, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, it's ubiquitous. It's not universal because somebody voted for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
But life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, being the best that you can be, what you always project, Joe, what you celebrate and promote, it's alive and well in America. We just got to make sure that that positive, we the people, we mow down, we bulldoze, we overcome, we outvote and get the votes counted of those who want to turn America into Venezuela, because
right.
It's happening.
I didn't know that you were banished from Facebook, and we've got to talk about that in earnest next time we speak. We're just about out of time, but not before we tell people how to go and buy Ted Nugent's stuff. It's happening this weekend. Tell people where it's happening and what's available, Ted.
Well, I'm doing an auction because I have, you're not going to believe these words are coming out of my mouth, but I actually have too many guns. I have guns that I don't fondle and I don't shoot. So I'm keeping my favorite 100 guns, but I'm selling hundreds and hundreds of collectible firearms, guitars. I'm keeping my favorite guitars. My God, I got the greatest guitar. But we're selling some of my hot rods and some of my trucks just because I've accumulated so much stuff in 72 years at Tucker Hall this weekend in Waco on all day Friday and all day Saturday. And Johnny and John and I are going to jam like Men in Heat, like old VFW Elks Lodge jam sessions.
That's awesome.
And you can get all my stuff at tednugent.com. We have these, I don't know where I put them. I signed another 1,000 come and take it hats. And I don't know why this thing.
Yeah, you got to put it. Yeah. Put it in front of you and then it won't do that. Right in front of your face. Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
That's nice.
I signed another couple thousand of those, Joe. And if people want this, they can go to tednugent.com, or they can come to Waco to Tucker Hall this weekend, and I'll be hanging around shaking hands and spreading that spiritual voodoo mojo that is the American dream.
I love it. People got to, you have to go and check that out, tednugent.com, find out about all the auction items, how to get there, when to get there, how to get these hats, how to get the flags as well. Ted, always appreciate you taking the time. You're very, very generous with my listeners and with me, and I'd be an idiot not to ask you to play us out. Go ahead.
All right, here we go. Joe Pags and Ted Nugent.
Hey, Ted, I'm gonna toss it to break. Hey, I'm gonna toss it to break. Do me a favor. Give me some Love Grenade. That's my theme. You know that.
You ready?
Here we go. Love it. We're back after this on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
I appreciate you stopping by. Thanks so much. I appreciate Ted Nugent coming on today. Been a good friend of mine for more than 20 years now. And he's just always accessible to us. We bring him on all the time. And you know, when situations happen with all these shootings and new gun legislation and so on, plus, you know, big issues like the trial of Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis. I mean, bringing Ted on just seems to be a no-brainer. Plus, this weekend, he's got his big auction happening in Waco, Texas. Make sure you go and check that out. Let me tell you about Newsmax TV. You know, the Bible is under attack. Some countries even ban it. And the United States, here, the laws are being promoted to limit biblical values in society. In fact, in California, the governor there last year banned private Bible study groups in homes. It's frightening, and it's really happening. Now Greg Kelly Reports investigates the growing movement to ban the Bible in American life. Watch Greg Kelly on Newsmax TV tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time as he reveals the real dangers to Christians and how they are fighting to protect the Bible. You're not going to find this on other networks, so make sure you get there. Newsmax TV is America's fastest growing cable news channel on all major systems. Check your cable guide or call them to get Newsmax TV. Or get it free on Roku, YouTube, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, and smart TVs like Samsung, Sony, or LG. Plus, you can download the free Newsmax app on your phone and watch it anytime, anywhere. That's what I do. So find out about the growing danger to your Bible freedom. Watch Newsmax TV's Greg Kelly tonight. Again, Newsmax TV. Get it on all those systems. Keep it here.
You're listening to Joe Pags. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It is the Joe Pags Show. Lots going on, lots to get to. Dave Rubin from the Rubin Report at the bottom of the hour. Go to DaveRubin.com. Make sure you check him out there. He's awfully awesome. Here's a guy that just doesn't take any garbage. We talk a lot about how those who believe in traditional American values or conservatism don't have to back down, and how you can fight back with the truth. We get into that and much, much more. Make sure you stick around for that. Plus, plenty of your phone calls. N.A. Pag's parody on the Joe Biden press conference today, which was a mess. World leaders from around the everywhere, whether it's Asia, whether it's Europe, whether no matter where it happens to be, South America, they are laughing at us because of that press conference. We'll have more on that in a second on a Thursday. Feeling all right. Uh-huh. Say what? Let's go.
Seems I got to have a change of scene. Every night I have strangest dream. Imprisoned by the way it could have been. Left here on my own, oh, so it seems. Got to leave before I stop.
Let's go. Thursday,
scream.
Almost Friday. The weekend's almost here. Here's what we do. We turn it up and we sing along. Let's go.
Took the key.
You're feeling all right. I'm not feeling too good myself.
Right, Carrie? How you doing? You good over there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yes, sir.
Feeling all right.
Turn the music up.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
Yes. Exactly right. That's how we do it. Glad to have you along for the ride. If you missed the first hour, you missed Ted Nugent dropping some truth bombs. That is the chocolate voice herself. Got the hair up. I'm not mad at it.
I do today. Yep.
Yes. Let's keep that going.
Okay. We'll see.
Let me say this. I am kind of jealous. Now, you're going to think this is a cut down, but it's not. I mean, obviously, okay. Your roots are showing, right? Let's just go out there. Let's just go there. But your roots are dark. My roots are gray. What is that? Your roots should be gray and white and translucent.
No, because I'm not near as old as you are.
So. Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
56.
I know.
That's Polo getting it done, making it happen. Sam in the hizzy. Now, is that a scarf in your head? Is that what we're going to call go with a scarf, or what is that called? A thing?
Ascot.
That is not an ascot.
I know.
You just pulled that one out of nowhere? What was that? All right, we got a PAGS parody for you. It's an ascot. An ascot is something you put around your neck, isn't it?
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. Now, Sam's just making stuff up. She's like, Dad'll just buy this one if I just say ascot. All right, we appreciate you guys stopping by. There's a lot going on. Dave Rubin coming up at the bottom of the hour. Really enjoyed talking to Dave today. And we'll get into some issues, how we deal with issues in America, why we put so much emphasis on social media and so much more. It was a very good conversation. We worked a long time to get Dave on because he's a very popular guy, and he's a guy that you definitely know. It was interesting because there was another guy named David Rubin that I had on with that was a mayor from like an Israeli city that I want to have him on again soon too, Sam. David Rubin from Israel. Remember when we Skyped him from Israel? You can look at the camera. It's okay with your ascot on your head.
Yes, I remember him.
What are we calling that? What is that?
It's definitely a scarf that I folded up and tied.
Yeah. Are you having a hair day? What's going on over there?
Well, maybe.
I think it looks great. It's like a throwback to the 50s or 60s. I'm not. I couldn't pull it off. And then look at Carrie's roots.
Wow.
I mean, holy crap.
No. What? Let's not get rude. Okay.
Why are you shaking your head, Polo?
Because you have like no chill.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? I'm chilling. I'm enjoying their hair and their hairstyles. No. I am jealous of it. I'm 100% jelly.
Got roots and I need
right. You've
to
got dark roots and you don't look old. You don't look as old as you are. I just think it's surprising.
Again, you start out. It sounds like a compliment, but it's really not.
It is a compliment.
It is.
The lady in Alpena is going to call, isn't she? She's going to be very mad this entire conversation. You're so
mean
to
the girl
on the show. You ever notice that she never called back because she knows who you are now. She knows who runs the show.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So that is me. Yes, I run the show.
Yes, yeah, my daughter. She's wearing an ascot on her head. Look at that.
That's what I do.
I think it's nice. I think it's very nice. I could not pull it up. Maybe I'll. That's what I'll do. As my hair gets thinner and grayer, I will start wearing a scarf on my head. I think that'll probably be appropriate, right?
I think a bonnet would look better for you. I think
a bonnet.
Yes.
I need to pull out that beret that you have.
I do have a beret. What do you mean a bonnet? Why would you say bonnet, Polo? Did you mean beret?
No, I meant bonnet.
You meant bonnet. You think I should wear a bonnet?
Yes.
Don't get me going on your head, okay? I haven't even gone to your hair. I'm just saying, have you invested in just for men, or you just use it? I mean, how does that work? What? Wow. What am I saying?
He told me to wear a bonnet, Carrie. He said, wear a bonnet today. Oh my goodness!
I'm very manly.
You're very Joe today. I don't know if it's Pags or Biden. I can't decide.
Do you own stock? I'm not Biden. I actually have my train of thought going. Hey. What do you mean? I'm right along. The people want to know what's going on with the hair of the staff.
Clearly,
let's look at mine again.
That's where they think they do. I don't think they really care.
I'm going silver. I'm going silver fox with mine today.
Silver fox.
Or some could say, I'm saying silver fox.
I'd say more eggshell than silver fox.
Eggshell. What are you talking? It's not white. Come on. Don't be racist on my hair. Don't tell me I have white man hair. It is 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. I'm not taking one call on that. I will take calls, however, Sam, I will take calls on that mess that was a so-called press conference today. Carol, let me ask you this. Is that a press conference? And by the way, we don't even call them press conferences anymore, do we? We call them news conferences.
I would say news conference. Yeah.
A press conference was for when the press is, right, with the newspapers, yeah. Right. So you would run to the printing press and make it happen. But as a journalist, as you sit here right now, how would you feel about being part of the White House press corps? And then if you don't get called on from the list that like Jen Psaki or somebody made or Barack Obama made, you don't get called on. I mean, how do you even do your job?
Well, you can't. I'd be really ticked off, just like I'm sure Peter Doocy is from Fox News. You can't do your job if you don't get called on.
I did not see the end of the news conference. Was Doocy yelling out questions? Was anybody yelling out a question to Biden or no?
You know, I don't know. I don't remember.
Paula, were we airing that on the unanchored channel or anything? Were there any questions yelled at the end?
We only aired part. We didn't air the whole news conference on our station. So
yeah,
I mean, I'd like to know.
And from what I remember, our program director kind of made it seem like he came to ask me if Fox had already finished, because when we looked at the screen, they were already on to something else, and it seemed like it was because of the fact that they didn't get to ask any questions or anything. And it was, I don't know for sure. We're just trying to figure that out, but they had already cut things off because I guess they weren't being allowed to ask questions or something. I don't know.
And the reason I ask that is obvious. I mean, Carrie, when Trump was in office, people would just yell questions at him all the time.
They would, yeah. This seemed more totally unlike what you would have seen a couple of years ago if former President Trump was at the podium.
Yeah, I agree. It was very controlled. I want to say when I looked up, it looked like somebody was holding the microphone for whoever was talking. I could be wrong.
No, there was a guy holding a microphone. You're right. There was a guy there, but that's not unusual in that even when Trump was there, remember when Acosta got in a fight with the girl who was like, you know, told Trump, take the microphone away from him, go to the next person. And she tried to, or she tried to get the microphone back from Acosta and he wouldn't let her go. And then he sort of elbowed her and he was, oh, Acosta's not a bad guy. He was just doing his job. Remember he got kicked out of the White House press corps for a second. Then like the courts made them let him back in or something. But so there's always a microphone. But what I did notice was if there was a question that wasn't in the list of cards that he had in front, I'm not making this up. He had a list of cards. Oh, they're going to talk about May 1st in Afghanistan. He's got a card for that. Going to talk about the border. He's got a card for that. And the top of every card was blame Trump first and then say these words. But when they asked him a question that did not have to do with the cards, and Carrie, maybe I'm being biased, but tell me if I'm wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
He would say, come on, man. This is what you people do. Come on, man.
Well, yeah, he seemed, nice there were a couple of times where they were asking very specific questions, especially when it came to the border and dates and these unaccompanied kids and when they're going to get some help. And there were times where he just seemed to circle around the question and not answer it. And nobody seemed to call the president on that. Nobody called the president on, you know, this binder. When have you ever seen a president up there in a news conference with notes? I mean, that now never. I could be wrong. I don't think I saw it with Trump or Obama or even George W. Bush.
They actually knew the answers because they were actually leading the country. So this guy was sent out there with a binder and with all these cards and everything else. I wish I had my stats on me, he says. And then he's reaching for something else. And then there was this lie, this alleged reporter. And tell me if you saw this. The woman stands up. I don't even know who she is because she got a big thing on her face. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Everybody's got a mask on now. But she says, I talked to 9-year-old Javier.
Cecilia Vega from ABC News. Yep.
So she stands up and she says, 9-year-old fill in the blank name walked here alone from Honduras. And then she said, along with a friend of his, which isn't alone, first of all. But Carrie, I'm not putting you in the spot. This is a journalistic question. Do you believe a 9-year-old walked here from Honduras alone?
Well, no.
Of course not.
I'm sure he was with a group of people.
Yes. Of course he was. Why say that? Is it because this person, you know her name, somebody Vega.
Yeah.
Is it because she thinks that people watching will believe that a 9-year-old walked here from Honduras?
Well, it seemed like she was very affected by whatever experience she had when she was talking with this child and when she was asking her question. Didn't you feel
and
that
that's okay.
She was trying to, you know, there was some emotion behind that?
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean lie about it.
True.
You know, such and such from Honduras walked here 1,000 miles with a caravan of people, and he told me his story and was heart-wrenching, blah, blah, blah. Why lie and say he walked here alone? That's just not true.
I don't know.
He got here, they called his mother, who was in Honduras. Carrie, you're the mother of a couple of kids. What are they, 26 and 14?
17 and 13.
Right, and you got the 3 grandkids, right?
I have no grandchildren. Nope.
Let me see. You might have a, who knows?
No, stop.
So what I'm saying is, well, your eldest is what? He's nearly 30.
17.
So if how old is the younger one? 14, 13?
13. I just told you. You don't listen to me.
I don't know. They're like 27 and
I just
and
told you.
I'm not sure.
30 seconds
but
ago.
But I don't believe you. I think you're making it up. So okay. your 13-year-old says, hey, mom, I'm going to walk 1,000 miles. You cool with that?
No, I'm not.
What do you say to the
person? Go clean your room. Absolutely not. You're not leaving the house. No, no, no.
Now, let's say you allowed your 13-year-old son. You told him, son, go. Walk to Iowa or whatever the 1,000 miles would be. What should happen to you as a mother of this minor child?
My child should be taken away. That's not being a parent. That's not being a good parent. No. Absolutely not.
So this Vega person, is her name Suzanne Vega?
Cecilia.
No, that was a musician, right? Suzanne Vega?
Susanna Vega. Cecilia Vega.
Who's Susanna Vega? What song? She did like
My
one
name
song.
Is
what
Luca
was it?
Or something. Luca. Vega.
My
yeah.
name is Luca. Yeah, that's right. So that's who that was. So she's now a reporter for ABC, clearly. So she goes and stands up and says, the 9-year-old walked alone with a friend, which isn't alone, from Honduras. And we called mom to say he's safe. Mom should be arrested. Am I exaggerating here?
No, I don't understand a 9-year-old. I cannot wrap my brain around why that mom did that. I can't.
I'm guessing the 9-year-old would have been safer in Honduras with mom, no?
I don't know what his situation was, but I would
1,000
say
miles,
on the surface, yes. I mean, I would never, ever,
1,000 miles. He's 9.
Ever let that happen with my child. I couldn't.
Nope. And Susanna Vega, the Luca lady, when she stands up and says that, what's her name?
Cecilia.
Are they related? Any relation?
I don't know.
See?
Don't know.
Right answer, because we don't know. So she stands up and says this, thinking that it's going to pull at the heartstrings of Americans, when Americans actually have a brain and they know that CPS be knocking on the door. Hey, where's your 9-year-old son? Because we hear he's walking 1,000 miles somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Biden lying about how Trump ruined everything. There was one telling answer. Did you hear when he was asked, when are you going to allow us to go and see what's going on there?
Well, he never really gave an answer. Yeah, he did not. And here is something I would have liked to have asked, because, again, talking about the border issue, and blaming the Trump administration for all of this, but yet his administration now has to deal with it. Talk to Mexico's president. What has the president of Mexico said about this administration when it comes to what's going on at the border?
Well, the lie from Biden was that the Mexican administration won't cooperate. That's a lie.
But the Mexico's president
has
said,
in place.
Yeah, the Biden the administration now is the problem at the border. The president of Mexico has said that.
Did you see what people responded to that on Twitter?
I did not.
Oh, he's more corrupt than Trump was.
Oh,
now the Mexican
course.
President is suddenly very corrupt.
Okay.
Before this, he was the king. Now he's very corrupt because you got to protect Biden.
All right. Makes sense.
Sam, I'm going to open the phones for people. Just want to talk about what Biden did today. And I may have time for the parody when we come back. What am I calling it? He's gone. So we've got that for you, too. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Also, Dave Rubin at the bottom of the hour. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
Thoughts on what you saw there today from the President of the United States. But I gave people the opportunity to vote in this poll. They wanted to hear, Carrie, they wanted to hear the parody again. I wasn't going to play it again.
Of course they did.
I was not going to play it again.
No?
Well, maybe I was going to. You're not buying that?
Nope. Not for a second.
Let me just ask you this, because maybe I'm admiring it. You think I could pull that off with the dark roots and the lighter top? You think I could do that?
I'm going to say no.
You dare me to try it?
I dare you to try it.
Would
absolutely.
That be funny?
Yes.
Would that be funny?
Let's try that.
Your hair on my head would not be good. That would not be good.
That would be really disturbing, but yeah.
That'd be weird.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I'm a Hall & Oates fan. This is one of Carrie's favorite songs, so I figured what the hell? Let's ruin it. Watch Joe Biden today. It was an embarrassment. It was a mess. It actually was kind of, I mean, made me feel bad, to be honest with you. Let's go. Little harmony there for you. Yeah, all the voices are mine. Sorry. Come on. I think it's here. Let's go. Everybody watch across the nation. You hear the top voice, Carrie's got
that. Is yours too? Okay.
Yes. Everybody wants to hear him make his case. Yeah. But what he said didn't make much sense, no. Come on. It's plain to see, he looks lost at sea. He's gone, Uncle Joe, good old Joe. Couldn't keep on track, he's gone. Can't take more, Uncle Joe. Should be in a home, he's gone. By this time is up. All for you, people. He couldn't just pick at a reporter. Chair dancing, Carrie, no?
No, no.
Point to them and say, what's your question? He read a list that was given to him. Bring it now. He's being abused. Clearly has no clue. He's gone. Uncle Joe. China Joe. Couldn't keep on track, he's gone. Can't take more, China Joe. Should be in a home, he's gone. Biden, his time is up.
Does that mean?
Does that mean to say he should be in a home?
A little bit, yeah.
Is that wrong? Is that wrong? Is that not good to do to the President of the United States? Voice,
I thought that was Gabby or somebody. Singing.
No, it's me.
You.
I did too.
Whoa. That was high.
Sorry, Gabby.
Wow.
It was not Gabby. That was me. What are you talking about?
Okay. Wow.
You guys thought that was Gabby or something?
I did.
It sounded like her.
That's a compliment to me, man. That's a compliment to me. I mean, it means I pulled it off a little bit. It was not easy. I mean, the only thing I had to do more than once was the high part. Because it really was so out of tune.
It
was bad. Yeah. It was bad. But no, we pulled it off okay. I tried to do it in the original key. I had to take it down two half steps. I had to take it down a full step because I just could not get the high note. And some would argue I still didn't, to be honest with you. But no, I had fun with it because I'm watching and I'm going, boy, this guy's gone. And immediately I thought, oh, I mean, because I said this to myself, self, what song has the word gone in it? And it's all that came into my mind. Can you guys think of another one? Because that's the only one I can think of.
Not off fan, I don't think. That was the first one that came to my mind, yeah.
Dave Rubin, when we come back, keep it right here on the Joe Pags Show.
Joe Pags.
great to have you here. Really glad to have this guy on. Man, his report, amazing. The Rubin Report, I watch it all the time. I love your voice. I love your steadfastness for your love of this country, and I love that you won't be a victim. It's Dave Rubin. Dave, how are you?
Joe, it's good to be with you, and I know you meant my voice metaphorically, but you've got a freaking killer literal voice.
Well, thank you.
You were born to be doing what you're doing, man.
I got very lucky. I could either have been pumping gas and not utilizing it, but I got lucky and I realized what I could do. I watched a video that you put up 2 minutes ago on Twitter where you're talking about Kamala Harris's cackle. Now, you might be able to get away with that. I can't do that. I'd be a racist. I'd be the biggest, you know, white supremacist ever, but you did it anyway. Dave, is that where we are in America, where we have to make sure that we still feel free to say what we want, do what we want, criticize our leaders, and not worry about who's going to come down with a Twitter hammer on our heads?
Yeah. Well, Joe, to be clear, they still call me a racist. Let's not mince words on that.
Well, good. At least we're on the same team there. Good.
Yeah. They think I'm a racist, a homophobe, a transphobe, the rest of it. You know, it never ends. But yes, there has never been a more important time for guys like us, if we're going to talk for a living, right? If we're going to share what we think for a living, to be more and more bold in doing it, because they're coming for everybody. And the average person is basically crippled and paralyzed with fear right now that they are going to say something or tweet something or post something. Yeah. And next thing you know, their job is going to be gone. Their family is going to turn on them. They're going to be booted off social media and the rest of it. So we have a little window to fight back, and the window seems to be getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So, man, look, to do what we do and not make the jokes that you want to make, not say what you think. I mean, I know you do,
right?
But it's like we have more of a responsibility to do it now than ever. So I have no problem making fun of Kamala Harris. It has nothing to do with the color of her skin. I have no problem making fun of Pete Buttigieg. It has nothing to do with his sexuality. Yeah. And no problem making fun of Rachel Levine, the new assistant health secretary, having to do with her being trans. These people are worthy of making fun of their ideas.
Oh, and that's the thing. I mean, you and I put ourselves out there. You're more of a public figure, more known than I am, but I've got a big following as well. And we sort of don't worry about what it is that we say and do, but many people aren't in our position where we have a little bit of extra sway because, again, we've got a large following. Many people, if you call them a racist, will say, I've got a black friend. Or if you call them a homophobe, wait a second, my brother's gay. I mean, they always have this excuse and this very quick defense mechanism where you and I will say, show me how. Tell me what I said that made you say that. Why is it that Americans have been allowed themselves to be pushed into the corner when it comes to issues that are important to them?
Well, the sad truth is because most people are decent. I mean, most people are decent. So when you say really awful things to somebody, I mean, what's like the worst thing you could say to somebody? In effect, you're racist.
Yeah.
You have hatred in your heart. Well, that's a horrible thing to say to somebody. That's going to put them back on their heels. You know, I think one of the things that worked for me, and it's not that none of those attacks have any meaning. You know, when I still get those attacks, and trust me, I get them every single day, usually from craptastic mainstream media things.
Right.
You know, it's not that they have no effect on me, but I've been doing this long enough now, and I've had so many hit pieces in the New York Times and Daily Beast and all the usual suspects that now when they do it, they say far right Dave Rubin, and it's like, you know what? This book behind me that I just wrote, it was all about defending liberalism. Yeah, old school liberalism, which in many ways JFK's liberalism is now conservatism. But it's like, you guys are the joke. You're saying far more about yourself when you make these attacks than you're saying about me. I don't mind honest criticism. I'm sure you don't either. I actually enjoy it because then I can kind of think, hey, do I really believe what I'm saying here? Right. Have I really thought this stuff through? But when they just come in with all the garbage, well, then at this point, I've lived through it. And, you know, keep coming. If you want to keep coming at me, keep coming. You're not going to stop me. You haven't stopped me this far, and I'm not stopping now.
The name of the book is Don't Burn This Book. It is Dave Rubin. Go to DaveRubin.com. The Rubin Report is must watch on the internet, and go get it wherever you could possibly get it. What's interesting about what you just said is I agree with you. Constructive criticism that'll make me better as a human being and maybe better as a broadcaster is always welcome to me. I haven't gotten any in about 15 years. Because Dave, have you? Has anybody actually said to you, hey, if you this, that, and the other, and you took it to heart and you said, you know, maybe they're right about that. Has that happened in the past few years? Because everything they say to you and everything they say to me is a lie, and there's no real reason to even react to it. Have you heard real constructive criticism that makes sense? I haven't.
No, not really. I mean, no, because usually they just go to the default stuff that we've talked about already. It's usually just the labels. But, you know, look, people read my book. And here, one for example. So in my book, I take a position on abortion. I consider myself begrudgingly pro-choice. I do not deny that when the sperm meets the egg, that it is life.
Right.
I think it's a deeply complex philosophical, religious, moral, ethical issue to deal with. And I think in a pluralistic society, 12 weeks is the cutoff that I believe in now. But I completely understand and respect the pro-life argument. I really, right. really do. But what's interesting is the conservatives who read my book, the emails that I got, and when people come up to me on the street, they go, Dave, I love your book. I disagree with you about abortion, but I think you're gonna come to our side one day. But that's starkly different than the response I get from the left on virtually all the other topics, which is, oh, I want to destroy you, or we're going to destroy your Amazon reviews, and we're going to mob you on Twitter and everything else. So I think, generally speaking, people on the right have become much more, I would say, open-minded in the best sense. Not that they don't know what they believe, but they're willing to live in a society with people they disagree with. And show me where that is on the left. It doesn't exist anymore.
Because we're open to debate. I want to debate. I want you to tell me your side of the story, and I want to be able to go back and forth with you and have a really good conversation to where I can learn something from you, you can learn something from me. That's not what the left does. The left wants you to shut up. The left wants you to disappear. The left would like me to disappear. I'll give you a quick example. You may or may not have seen this. A couple of weeks ago, I interviewed Ron Johnson. He's the Wisconsin senator. Ron Johnson said that had the peaceful protesters been Black Lives Matter and Antifa, he might have been afraid. He wasn't afraid of those who were protesting that day. And this is after he rebuked and condemned those who actually rioted and breached the Capitol. Every single media outlet from the New York Times down to the Huffington Post to the Daily Beast to everybody, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, all lied and said Ron Johnson was okay with white protesters and not black ones. Now, that's just a lie to try to cancel Ron Johnson, who's up for re-election soon. It's a lie to try to cancel Joe Pags because I've got a radio show that a lot of people listen to. So what do you do then? When you're painted into that corner, I know what I did. I just played the actual soundbite in context and said, invite me on your program, which they didn't do. But what does a regular person do who is painted into a corner? I'm going to ruin you because you like Ruben. I'm going to ruin you because you bought his book and you ascribe to a lot of what he says. What do you say to them?
You know what you say? Do not bend the knee. Do not bend the knee. It is the only response that you can have. Look, when you go out there and you say, this is who I am, this is what I believe, here are unpopular positions that I hold, you're going to get attacked. It goes without saying. But if what you're going to do at the end of it is just shrivel back to where you started, then you're doing the wrong thing. Now, I get it. Most people, again, are not us. So they're not public people in this regard. But in a weird way, one of the dangerous things that's happened in the United States now is that everything has become political.
Yeah.
So, your Facebook feed, it's like picture of grandma, terrorist attack, Trump, Biden, picture of a baby. And people are just getting this very conflicting sense of, happiness and misery and joy and all of these things. You've got to look. I'm not saying don't apologize. Okay, if you do something really bad, if you really feel that you've wronged someone or lied or whatever it might be, I've apologized. Of course, you can apologize, but never apologize to the mob, because they're not there for your forgiveness. They're not there for reconciliation. They're there to own you forever. And if you want to live on your knees forever, then so be it. I can't live like that.
His amazing book is Don't Burn This Book. It's Dave Rubin, the Rubin Report. Go to DaveRubin.com. What's interesting about what you just said is we've given a lot of power to social media. The manufacturers of goods and those who sell stuff and those who are in the so-called mainstream have given too much power to it. You know this. 22% of all Americans are on Twitter. That's it. 22%. Of that 22%, most just ignore, most of what's out there. But we're scared to death of the power that we've given them. How do we push back on that? You and I, in what we do, kind of need social media. I promote the interviews I have. I'm going to promote you tonight, and hopefully people will see that on all the social media sites and come in and partake. But I don't know if you saw my pinned tweet. I don't debate anybody on social media anymore. You want to debate me, call my show. Because you can't win. First of all, is it a bot? Is it a real person? Is it a third account by the same idiot in his mom's basement? We don't know who the hell they are, Dave. How did we get here to where we gave Jack and Mark and these people so much power over what it is we say and do?
Yeah, one of the most fascinating things about social media is you'll have geniuses, scientific geniuses debating with anime avatars from Street Fighter about string theory. And you're like, wow, this is an actual thing that's happening right now.
Right.
I think you're generally right about debating on Twitter. Nothing good's going to come from it. I fall in the trap every now and again. Nobody's perfect. How did we give them so much power? Well, look, we're all walking around with this device that 20 years ago did not exist, and we did not realize, and it's none of our faults, we did not realize the extraordinary power of this thing, the amount of information that we could be sharing, that you could say something, and in an instant, someone literally across the world could read it and respond to you. I mean, that is so mind-blowingly, staggeringly powerful that there's no way at the beginnings of the internet we could have figured out how to deal with this properly. So what I would say at this point is, well, you know what? Now it's 20 years later. This ain't MySpace anymore. Now we should be thinking about it and going, you know, it's kind of curious that they give us Twitter for free. Kind of curious that they give us YouTube for free and Facebook for free. You think maybe there is a secret cost? Maybe that secret cost is our data, is our information, is our digital soul? We've got to figure out some off-ramps from these big tech things. You may know I started Locals.com, where we build digital homes for creators. Joe, you'd be great on there. It's subscription-based and you own it all. We build you the house and we get out of the way. It's yours. It's all your stuff. And I think that's a much more mature way of looking at the internet, as opposed to, oh, Jack Dorsey from Twitter, who looks like a guy in Lord of the Rings, like he should be in charge.
Are you allowed to say that?
My information.
What I love, Dave, is that you just don't care.
People in Lord of the Rings.
That's right. I mean, that's probably who you're offending. It's Dave Rubin, DaveRubin.com. Watch the Rubin Report anytime you can. Don't Burn This Book is the name of the book. I want to give you one more example. And by the way, you're right. And yes, I have mine right in front of me, just in case somebody tweets me during this interview. And by the way, if that's an invitation to Locals, I'm coming. I'll come and check it out immediately.
Yeah, well, I'll have my guys email you.
But please do that. Let me just make one more point, and I want you to opine on this if you don't mind. You and I probably disagree on abortion to an extent. I hear what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. What bothers me is the conservative person who says, I would never be part of an abortion. I would never take part. I would be against it. I would do all I could to stop it. But I'm pro-choice. Who am I? Who am I to say what a woman should do with their body? That's the weirdest thing. That really is the sum of this dopamine spike we get from social media, where I want to be part of that group, so I have to say I'm pro-choice, even if I'm really pro-life. I'm going to pretend I'm something I'm not to make sure I get invited to that group chat or whatever it is. What can you say right now, Dave, to empower people to stop it? If you believe in something, believe in it, stick to your guns, don't be mobile. People who are pro-something will lie and say they're not to fit in.
Yeah, well, first off, as you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's number one. Number two, you know, on the abortion topic, I'd love to come back another time. We could spend a whole 20 minutes just discussing that. And by the way, I know we would do it respectfully, and I wouldn't do it with the goal of, oh, I got to get Joe to my side at the end of this thing, or you going, I got to get Dave to my side. The point would be, let's actually have an open discussion. Why do we think the things we need that we think at relative to religion, as I said before, and ethics and morality, and also how a government has to govern over people with a wide swath of ideas. So we should do that at another time. But to your point, yeah, I mean, this is one of the traps of social media. It gets us all going into those echo chambers. It gets us all rooting for teams, when really the team that we've got, if we've got a team, you know, I don't like collectivist ideas generally, but if we've got a team, the team is the 350 million people that live in this country. My playbook would be, okay, well, then let's scale back the power of the government so most people can do what they want to do. And unfortunately, we're fighting a set of ideas right now that just wants to give that machine more money, more power, and more control over your life. So we got work to do.
Well, I thank God your voice is out there. I love watching everything you do. I love the guests that you have on, and the questions are so insightful. I've learned from watching it, Dave. It's DaveRubin.com. Watch the Rubin Report. Get his book. Don't Burn This Book. And please come back on again soon. I loved having this conversation.
Hey, from one Long Islander to another.
All right, brother. We appreciate you. We're back after this. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pag Show.
Appreciate you stopping by. Thanks a lot. Dave Rubin is a good guy. I'm glad he came on. I'm going to check out that Locals, and I'll report back to you to see exactly what it is and whether you'd be interested in that. Very, very interesting. Carrie, have you checked out his the Rubin Report? It's pretty awesome.
I have not, but I need to, I guess. Huh?
I'll get you a link. Well, it's DaveRubin.com. Check that out if you get a chance.
All right.
I see you floating on the internet doing nothing late at night. Say, well, why not go check that out? What's a big deal?
Why are you being so mean today?
How am I being mean? Because I was off for a week.
Extra today.
I have a little extra today. Maybe a little extra. Because I watched that stupid press conference. It made me sick.
Okay.
And it got me all riled up. Did you see the thing that I posted while watching it?
I did.
Pretty funny. I mean, he said that.
Well, I had to play it back a couple of times because I guess I didn't catch it. He did not say during the news conference, but
right, he did not say people were sitting on the banks of the Rio Grande. He did not say sitting.
Mm-hmm.
There was an H in there, and I just wondered what it was that I heard.
Got it. Gotcha. Yeah, I did see that.
Did you care to report in context what he said?
No. No, I'm good.
Why can't you do the work of the people?
People like, need to go to your page, direct them to your page, and they can listen for themselves.
Yeah, a lot of them did. A lot of them should. Go to Telegram, Joe Pags, Parler, Joe Pags, Gab, Joe Pags, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's Joe Talk Show, Joe Talk Show. All the sites I'm verified, you know that it's me. So if you're on the wrong one that looks like me, but it's not or not verified, then it's not me. We talk about Super Beats. Super Beats are great. The heart chews are amazing. They taste incredible. Going to help your cardiovascular health. I'm talking about your blood pressure, talking about your circulation, talking about making sure that you have the blood flow you need to keep that energy level where you want it to be as well. They make these, the Super Beats soft chews, with non-GMO beets and grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats soft chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy the way nature intended. No jittery caffeine or stimulants here. Now you can take just 2 delicious soft chews a day, anytime, anywhere. Get the blood pressure support you need, the energy that you want. Do what I did. Support your heart health right now with delicious Super Beats soft chews. Get your Super Beats chews today at joelovesbeats.com. joelovesbeats.com. When you buy 2 bags, they're going to throw in a 3rd bag for free. That's joelovesbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats heart chews when you purchase 2. joelovesbeats.com. Make that happen right now. Let's see what we're doing on the phone lines. Let me grab a quick one if I have time here. I think I do. Let me say hi to Ted in Minneapolis. Hi, Ted. What's going on?
Joe Pags, love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, just make it real quick.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell I was going to say.
I'm glad you love the show. I think you liked the parody, didn't you?
Oh, I love the parody. And you were looking for another song with the word gone in it.
Yes.
Gone, Montgomery Gentry. I think you could do a parody on that.
Gone Montgomery Gentry. I'll look it up. Carrie, it gets uncomfortable when a guy calls in, love the show, I say thank you, and then he forgets exactly why he called the show.
I think he was a little starstruck, I guess, when he heard your voice.
I don't blame. I'd be afraid to talk to me, too. Vince, Tennessee, 30 seconds. Take him. Let's go.
I was going to say the same thing, Joe. I'm sorry. Also, this whole situation reminds me of the movie Being There by Peter Sellers. You got to talk about that at some point.
I'll look it up. It's called Being There.
Being There, Peter Sellers.
I don't think I know that. I don't know that movie. Peter Sellers. I know him from the Pink Panther, right? Polo, is that who he was? The Pink Panther guy, Peter Sellers.
I think so.
Yeah, I'll look it up. Being There. This could have something to do with Joe Biden, I guess. Keep it here. Campus Reform next hour and much more. Don't touch that dial.
This is the Joe Pags Show. Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. Happens to be your Thursday. Campus Reform at the bottom of this hour. Great young reporters bringing it every week. We love bringing them on Thursdays. That is the Talk of the Voice. Carrie, how you doing?
All right. How are you?
Making it happen.
Seems I got to have a change.
Polo and Sam getting it done. Uh-huh.
Because every night I have the strangest dream.
Do, do, do.
Impressed by the do, way do, things do. Used to be, yeah. Left here on my do, own, do, do. So it seems. I got to leave before I start to scream. Somebody locked the door.
Let's go.
Feeling all right. I'm not feeling too good myself.
You know what I'm saying, Carrie?
Mm-hmm.
Feeling
all right. Did I read that headline right? They're not going to do Cinderella, and it has to do with race again?
Yeah, that is correct.
Come on, man. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Yep.
What are we doing? And this is out of Uck, or is this from here?
Minnesota. It just happened to be
what
in the Daily
Mail.
What's
the matter with you, Minnesota? Yes, Grand Funk Railroad, named for the Grand Trunk Railroad in Flint, Michigan. Let's go. There you go. Glad to have you along for the ride. We appreciate you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. So, again, Sam, sort of a running theme of the program is I can certainly take calls on the Joe Biden press conference. People by now have probably seen it. But see, here's the thing. Carrie, I wonder what your thoughts are on this. By now, people are now seeing, like ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN are putting out about the press conference,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't watch the actual press conference. Do you think they're going to get the real story?
No. No.
Not even going to be close, is it?
I don't think so.
So your thoughts about the press conference by President Joe Biden, which was him reading out of a binder, reading off of notes, reading off of cards, calling people, the reporters' names, and he's like, Kim. He didn't even say the last names, Carrie. He's like, Kenny? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And his answers sucked.
The one reporter who, she was talking about the border and said that, you know, because you're such a good and decent man, where are we going with this? No, you know, it's all these compliments. Just ask your question.
Right.
Because it already sounds biased right out the gate.
Nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude. So I wonder if people do have an opinion on that. We definitely will hear from you at 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Meantime, we've got nuttiness in Minnesota, not that we're surprised, and they're not going to do Cinderella. Why?
Well, again, from the Daily Mail, a local Minnesota theater has canceled a production of Rodger and Hammerstein's Cinderella because its cast was too white. Chanhassen Dinner Theaters was scheduled to stage the show later this year before its artistic director stepped in to slam its lack of diversity. It was 98% white. The artistic director, Michael Brindisi, told the Pioneer Press on Wednesday after looking at who had been cast. Over Chanhassen, located southwest of Minneapolis, has a population that's overwhelming white, and the racial demographics of the cast were not strikingly different from the city as a whole. According to the most recent census, 92.5% of people in Chanhassen are white. Less than 3% of residents are Hispanic, while 1.1% are black. No photos of the Cinderella cast were officially released before the show was scrapped. In a statement released on Monday, the theater stated, after careful consideration and with our ongoing commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, we have made the decision to cancel our upcoming production. In addition to changing future programming, we are establishing new pre-production protocols. We will be inviting and paying BIPOC artists to analyze the production with our creative teams through a new diversity, equity, and inclusion lens. This conversation will happen before the design and casting process has begun. At Chanhassen Dinner Theater, theaters have hired a diversity consultant and pledged a commitment to identity-conscious casting and becoming a more intentionally anti-racist theater.
Okay, so what is BIPOC? POC is people of color.
I don't know. BI? It doesn't say. I'm not sure.
I'm confused. So we're going to do our best to be less racist. So they're admitting that the Chanhassen Theater is racist? Is that what they're saying?
Black, indigenous, and people of color.
What does black indigenous mean?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what I mean.
Did I miss some qualifications? Did I miss black and indigenous and people of color?
Yes.
I'm literally confused. I don't know what that means. What does black indigenous mean?
Black, indigenous, and people of color.
So black people aren't people of color?
I'm just asking. I know.
Okay. Now, I'm not one who believes in affirmative action, so I don't think that you should take the percentage of the county or the city or the township or the area and say that's 92% white should be 92% of the cast, 1% black should be 1% of the cast, 3% Hispanic, blah, blah, blah. I'm not one who believes that. I think that you go and try out, and if you're good enough and if you're the best one, you make it. That's what I think. The Chanhassen Theater should choose the best people who apply to go. Maybe no black people showed up to try out. Maybe no indigenous, whatever that is, showed up and tried out. Maybe no Hispanic showed up to try out. Why do we have to now say, that's it? The whole production was racist, even though you worked your ass off, tried out, made it, you're the lead in the role, you're not going to get to do it because you're too white. Why are we doing that in our society? Why are we in a place in America, the greatest melting pot, I know that's a microaggression, but the greatest melting pot of the planet's ever seen? Why are we continuing to segregate? And by the way, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to hear more about 1,800 different genders with campus reform. We're going to hear about segregated graduation ceremonies for colleges. Why are we here? If I go and try out and I'm good enough to be the lead, I should get the job. It doesn't matter how white or brown or indigenous I am. That should not matter. But the whole bending over backwards, I talked to Dave Rubin about this last hour, the whole bending over backwards to make people feel better, you know, to look out for their own feelings is stupid.
Stupid!
It is just dumb. We are living some sort of alternate reality, some bizarro upside down world. It doesn't make any sense. Until I hear some freaking leftist idiot tell me about how they're going to be pushing for more diversity in the NBA, I don't want to hear about it. I'm 1,000% for the NBA being whatever racial makeup it has to be to have the best players. The racial makeup should be third or fifth or tenth or not even I take all that back. It should not even be in the realm of decision making. My assumption is the owners of these NBA teams want to win the games. So they're choosing the best players available. And by the way, that's almost 80% black players. Our society is about 64% white. Should I push for these NBA teams to have 64% white players? Should I? And only 13% can be black. You want to do that? Let's play that game. But you can't do that in the NBA or the NFL or MLB. You can't do that because that's somehow racist. But it's not racist for a dinner theater to say, even though you're good enough, you made it, you're too white. Somehow they got away with that by saying there are too many white people and we now admit that we are somehow racist. They, in that story, said we are going to try to be less racist. My simple question is, for those of you who agree with this move, who think more diversity should be pushed upon the dinner theater, I want you to call me and tell me how this is different from the NBA or from the NFL, which is, I think, 77% black. Fill me in on what I'm missing in this woke-topia we live in. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Glad to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247. JoePags.com. Campus reform at the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stick around for that. Glad to have you along for the ride. Carrie, did not get the call during the break. Thought I might.
What call would that be?
From the NBA.
For you to do what exactly in the NBA?
Well, I'm 6'1", white, 250 pounds, and 54 years old.
65.
I think that I should be... Listen, if you don't have me on, then you're an ageist, you're a racist, you're an ethnocentric against Italian guys. Listen, I should be allowed into the NBA.
On that call, keep waiting. You should not. That would... that would not be good. And you'd hurt yourself.
Because I looked it up. I think B, I, the I stands for Italian, POC. I think
no,
that
there aren't enough Italians. I told you
how
the
many
I
Italians
stands
are there
for
in the NBA.
I have no idea, but it's not going to be you.
Let me ask you this.
Ever.
Do you think that it's a lower percentage than we have in society?
No.
Racist! Obviously, it's a racist league. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Got to tell you about stamps.com. Stamps.com is awesome. It's an awesome company, awesome service. It's something that's going to stop you from having to go to UPS and drop off your package, the box, whatever you're sending out. Stop you from going to the USPS, the United States Postal Service, and doing the same thing. Why wait in line? Why wear a mask? Why socially distance? When you do it from your own computer, from your own printer, you can get UPS done and you save up to 62%, get post office stuff done and save up to 40% off the postal rates. Why wouldn't you do this? Almost a million companies are using Stamps.com right now. Saves you time, saves you money. And again, you could be part of the growing number of small businesses taking advantage of this deal. Go to Stamps.com right now. No risk. With my promo code PAGS, you get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage at a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone on the top of the homepage. Type in PAGS, P-A-G-S. That's Stamps.com. Promo code PAGS, P-A-G-S. Never go to the post office again. Let me go to the phone lines. Maybe some people who are on the phone lines are white. Maybe they got the call from the NBA during the break. Is that possible?
No, not possible.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. I mean, how can you be sure? First of all, why should I trust you? You're white.
Oh, that's right. I guess you can't, right?
Okay, white lady, don't tell me what's going on because I don't know that I trust you.
Okay, fine. Well, you should. I am right in this case, but nobody got the call.
You know that big yellow thing in the sky?
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to get under it every once in a while. What?
Wow.
What's the matter?
Wow. Well, what? I told you you're extra. Well, you're extra salty, extra mean today. That's what
I don't know
you
what
are.
What are you talking about? I am looking out for you. If you're going to walk around this white, that's going to be a problem.
Again, that's so rude. I'm sorry. It's just
not rude at all.
It is too rude.
You're my friend. We're friends. Friends. I'm here helping you out.
Oh, gee, thanks.
I'm looking out for a sister.
I guess.
Let me go back to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to line two. Brent, Louisiana, talk to me. Hi.
Joe.
Hey.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, man, I heard about the theater.
Yeah.
The production had been canceled.
Yes.
I mean, shouldn't they allow their customers, which myself would be a customer, to decide for myself if I want to go to this show and see if it's all white or if it's all black? Or whatever, it's called using common sense.
Well,
I want to go to the NBA game, and I get over there, and they're all black.
Right.
And I don't want to see all black people. I'm going to get up and leave. That's common sense.
Right. And if you're okay with it, which most people are, obviously, you're going to stay and enjoy the game. Listen, if I go and see, like I went and saw the Eagles with Sam once, and the Eagles are all white people, right? And this is before the lead singer died. We went there and never once thought to ourselves, you know, why isn't there more diversity on the stage? And if I went to go see Boys to Men, I wouldn't think to myself, why isn't there more diversity on the stage? If I went to go see a Motown review and there's a bunch of black people singing to me, I would not say, why aren't there more white people out there? So let me ask you this, Brent. Why are they doing this when most people in society just don't care what the racial makeup is of the people that they're enjoying?
I don't know, Joe, but it's time for people to wake up and use their common sense to get things back on track again.
Brent, I hear you and I appreciate you, and I think you're right. The problem is many people don't have common sense. Carrie, would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. Yes.
Okay. Let me go back at it. And I just want to make sure. Let me go back at it and say hello to Joseph in Nevada. Joseph, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hey, Joe. Love the show. Hi, Carrie. How's it going?
Thank you.
Good.
Carrie, anything? Anything for him? Carrie's very surly. You got to be careful, Joseph.
What are you talking
about?
She's
very surly. She comes off like a victim. This is who she really is. You say, "How you doing, Carrie?" And she goes, "Whatever, Joseph. I guess I'm okay."
Hello. That is what I just said.
Wow. Joseph, I'm sorry from our entire team here at the Joe Pag Show. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I just was saying there's not enough diversity in the NBA as far as 5'3" guys. I'm a 5'3" guy, and haven't got my shot yet. Haven't got my call yet.
You didn't get the call?
I'm waiting with you there, Joe. No, they haven't called me yet.
Wait, even during the commercial break just now, did you check your voicemail?
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that once I get off the phone here because, I'm still waiting on that contract. Not enough diversity for 5'3" guys.
All right, brother, I appreciate you. Thank you. I appreciate you calling in. That is Joseph in Nevada. I feel so bad about how you treated him. I'm still going to give it to him.
What are you talking
I still feel
about?
Really bad.
I said hello. Oh, my God. I'm taking tomorrow off. I think I've had enough. I'll send you an email tonight.
Let me just say, Joseph, I'm sorry. Let me just say that.
Do not apologize for me. You have nothing to apologize
I'm talking to Joseph, not you.
Yeah, because I was not mean.
He put himself out. He's like, "Hey, Carrie, how you doing?" And you're like, "Ugh."
I did not say that.
I have a video of your face when he said it.
You do not. No, it was fine.
So nobody's calling him 5'3"? and white to go and play in the NBA? That's weird.
Yeah, no, not going to happen.
Do you think the NBA will apologize for its lack of diversity?
No. Nope.
Carrie, why is that okay? Why is that okay that you can go with meritocracy? No, I mean, you go with meritocracy for sports.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But in every other realm of society, you have to have a certain number of whoever the woke crowd says of diverse this, that, or the other, or else you're done.
I don't know. I don't know why that's okay. I don't know why.
Now, let me go to Frank in Denver. Frank, what's going on? Hi.
Well, I've got the answer for you.
Let's go.
The movement is not about leveling every hill. It's not about getting 62% of the white people in the NBA. It's already been stipulated, a couple of years ago, that it's literally impossible to discriminate or be prejudiced against a white person, particularly a white male.
Who decided that?
They're not trying.
Who decided that?
Somebody on the people you're talking against, somebody on the far left.
Somebody said that? Okay, go ahead.
So I'm saying that's what the movement is about. So the movement is not about leveling the NBA. The movement is about leveling every other issue where the non-POCs stick out.
Well, I know that there's no movement to level off the NBA. I know that. I'm just making a common sense comparison to sports. You're not allowed to say it. Every other realm, you are allowed to say it.
You keep asking why, and I'm saying that's your answer. It may not make sense. It may not be rational. But that's the answer.
Well, Frank, between you and me, don't tell anybody, okay? You ready? I knew the answer. I just wanted to talk about it.
I know.
Appreciate your call from Denver. Sam, did I misunderstand what you wrote there? It looked like he wanted to argue with me a little bit. He didn't, did he? He wanted to agree.
He wanted to kind of argue a little bit, but not really.
Because what he was saying wasn't an argument. He was actually trying to answer my question. Carrie, do I appear to not understand that there is a double standard in our society?
I think you do understand it, yes.
You're saying that I do understand.
Yes.
And we love Frank in Colorado. God bless you, Frank. I mean, but when you call in, I mean, I wasn't really, it was rhetorical. I don't know. Frank, I love you. Glad you called in. Let me go to line five. It's going to be Dale in Minnesota. Quickly, Dale, let's go.
Hey, just responding to Can Essen Dinner Theater in Minnesota here.
Yeah.
We go there a couple times a year, you know, it's just a couple nights out, you know, where we enjoy ourselves.
Right. But
after you said all that, you know, you would think after the pandemic and everything, they've been closed down, I'm sure, and stuff, and you can't go in that old place. Now they're opening up. Now they're going to close this out again. Don't they want to be in business anymore? And I'm sure Keith Ellingson and our governor, they all support what's happening, what you're saying.
Of course.
As far as is the racial thing. And, you know, it's just, I have no intention to go there again after all this is going on, and I hope I'm going to tell all my friends what's happening too, because it's just ridiculous.
Dale, I got you, and I hear you, and I feel you. Listen, exactly right. Don't go. Don't go to that theater. Let them know that you don't want this bias going on. We come back. It's going to be campus reform. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you along for the ride. Every Thursday, as you know, we have a great young reporter from campusreform.org. Today, it is Lacey Kestisher. We've had her on before from Binghamton University in New York, but you're not really there, right? You're still doing it online, right, Lacey?
Yes, I am still doing school online. Unfortunately, New York, along with a lot of other Northeastern schools, are still in the lockdown of states right now.
And I mean, that just to me is crazy, but we'll talk about that at length in a little while. I want people to go to campusreform.org, check out the great stories that you do and your contemporaries do there on the website. And for, I mean, Campus Reform is just uncovering stuff that you never would have known is going on without them. But before we do that, I'd like to talk to you about what is the state of education. You're not going to the university, but you're going to be graduating soon. How weird is that?
It's very strange knowing that I will be graduating online via Zoom after conducting this entire semester online and really this past 2 years. It's extremely frustrating for students like myself, given that we pay these high tuition rates looking to get these really great educations.
Right.
And it feels like it's lost. I feel like I'm not learning via Zoom. It's really sad because I really enjoy my classes, my professors, but I can't have that interactive state when I'm doing all of this online. And a lot of the time, classes will get canceled and whatnot. There's technological issues.
Right.
So this is not the ideal time for college.
It's very strange. I went to college in 1984. And for me, it was also cool to show up and see those guys and gals in class. And let's go hang out afterwards, go to McDonald's or go right around the beach or whatever. You don't have that social interaction either. Are you missing that piece of it?
Yes, certainly. I'm home right now at New Jersey. A lot of my friends, some of them are in Binghamton. Others of them are across the country.
Yeah.
And a lot of us are in lockdown states, so we can't just drive off when we have to do classes as well. So we miss that social aspect of school, of course, and being able to network with people. That's what was really great about being at college was networking opportunities. And I definitely feel that I'm missing out on that opportunity. And especially looking at the market and how competitive it is nowadays, it's something that's a big disadvantage for students like myself.
It is Lacey Kestisher. She's from Binghamton University, although hasn't been there all semester. She's about to graduate, and it's just a very, very strange time right now. And you're looking to go off to college to grad school, and you say, let's go to California, where it's even more closed than New York and New Jersey. So what's the thought process there, and is there any second thought about going there? I know that you like the university, but any second thoughts about going because of the state of COVID and lockdown?
It's very frustrating right now, given that I am going from lockdown state to lockdown state. Yeah. So I went from New York to New Jersey and now hopefully to California. But my program overall, it will be center right because I will be going to Pepperdine University this fall. And the program is very open and welcoming to conservatives.
Good.
So that's why I was hopeful in going there. But I really do hope that LA County opens up because right now we're under the restrictions there. And Eric Garcetti has had the entire county shut down almost entirely. I believe it's now open to 25% and only in certain areas. So it's extremely frustrating right now, especially for students and other people living in the area.
But if you're Gavin Newsom, you could eat at your favorite restaurant, open a door, and pretend it's outdoors. The whole thing is very, very screwy. They need to get rid of the whole power structure there in New York, New Jersey, and actually those two are in play, and California as well. It's Lacey Kestisher from campusreform.org. I've never heard of gray gender, maverick, nor feminine of center. I don't think of any of those things, but these allegedly are now gender identities. Fill me in.
Yes, at NYU, the Board of Equity, Belonging, and Community Action.
What? Wait. Stop. The Board of Equity, Belonging, and Community Action? Stop it.
Yes, so they don't have the diversity, equity, and inclusion. It is rather to build up a sense of belonging at the university. So this is a little different than what we've seen at other campuses, and it also plays out into their recent study in which they conducted to have a, quote, understanding of the student's sense of belonging at NYU itself. And included in this survey was a question about what is your gender identity, to which students could choose from over 30 options. And these were not written solutions. They were clearly like a multiple choice that you could choose from.
I mean, so I'm looking at gray gender, maverick, and feminine of center. If I had to pick one of those, I'm definitely maverick. I mean, is that right? I don't know. It sounds manly. I have no clue what that means. But let me ask you this, because this is going to be a strange question, I know. But if you apply to NYU and you're accepted at NYU, don't you have a sense of belonging automatically? Why don't you think you belong to the university that you applied to and you were accepted to? Does that make sense?
It definitely does not make sense, but nowadays colleges certainly rather look to appeal to students' feelings rather than facts. They try not to offend anybody, but in reality, they are destructing our society and our social norms. They're trying to say that men aren't men and women aren't women, and this creates a weaker society.
Wow.
Because when you look at other countries like China, they are not here focused on these petty arguments. They are looking to build up their military and become economically more advanced. And then the U.S., with our college students, we sit here and we argue over whether there's two genders, 50 genders, or according to NYU, there's countless genders. So we're stuck in these arguments when in reality, we need to be looking at the larger sphere of other problems that there are.
Imagine that. So in other words, you're saying that we haven't solved all the other problems. Why are we focused on this garbage? It is Lacey Kestisher. Again, almost 40 years ago, I went to college. And back then, nobody ever mentioned feelings in class. You know what we mentioned? Let's learn something. Let's advance our prospects when we leave college. It doesn't make any sense to me that people are paying all the... NYU is not cheap. They're paying all this money to go there to have somebody coddle them? Really?
Yes, certainly. NYU is one of the most expensive schools in the nation, and it's also in New York City, which in and of itself is very expensive.
Yeah.
And these students, rather than learning, they're rather being catered to their feelings. It's going to be interesting when we see them start to enter the workforce and how this affects the corporate environment overall, and if they'll be able to take these 40-plus hour weeks instead of sitting there and having to actually complain about the work that has to be get done.
Well, you're right. They're not preparing anybody for life after college, that's for sure. Lacey Kester, sure, make sure you go to campusreform.org and go check out the incredible stories every day there. The endpoint of critical race theory, you got to tell me, they're really segregating graduation? I need to know where this is and what they hope to accomplish by resegregating society that we fought so long and so hard to reintegrate. Help me out.
Yes, at Columbia University, aside from their standard graduation ceremony, they will also be having these voluntary segregated college graduation ceremonies. And these will be based off of socioeconomic status along with sexual orientation and race. And these will be entirely separate. And Columbia University is actually claiming that a lot of this is due to public support from the university and the student community themselves, given that they wanted to be segregated ultimately and have these separate ceremonies based off of what they identify as, what they think they are, and once again, just catering to their feelings.
Why not look at them in the face and say, listen, I hear where you're coming from, but we fought decades and generations in this country to reintegrate society. We're not going to segregate your graduation. I hope you learn a lesson from this. Why not say that instead of saying, sure, okay, we'll do it? Why are they just doing it?
Certainly, because colleges have become a point where the whole left can go and really put forth their entire political agenda. This is cultural Marxism in its prime. So the left is trying to further divide us by looking at us based off of our identities rather than as individuals. And they are breaking us down, and they are starting first off with college students who are vulnerable to these ideas. They haven't done all of the research on their own, and they'll accept whatever their professors say. So instead of going out, being able to think and be able to really just see society, how they experience it and take into account all of these different ideas, they are instead being told that they are victims to whatever their race is, whatever they identify as, and that that needs to be their group and they need to think like the rest of them instead of thinking as individuals.
It's Lacey Kestisher from Binghamton University, although she's in New Jersey now and wants to go to California. We've got one more story from campusreform.org, and I really appreciate you guys coming on every week. Student government, which I thought was just a sort of a practice or a theory of, hey, let's have the students have this sort of government thing. They can learn about how government works and so on. But more and more, they've got an enormous amount of power, and they're kicking anybody out who isn't liberal enough. And you've got a story about that as well, don't you?
Yes. A student in the Rochester Institute of Technology, he is a student senator there, and he came out in support of Blue Lives Matter, saying that he doesn't agree with the other senators in putting a ban on the thin blue line masks. And the rest of the students in the government did not react well to this. They actually impeached him, and we are yet to hear what are the next results of his standing going forward. There is going to be a board of trustees in the president's office looking over this, and Campus Reform will update the story accordingly. And this student has been silenced ultimately. They are trying to kick him out of the student government.
So this person just said, I think there's nothing wrong with the thin blue line. Blue Lives Matter is fine. And I'm sure he was outvoted or she was outvoted, whatever. And that's fine. Why? You're not allowed to have a voice if you're in student government. You're supposed to just shut up and get in line?
Certainly, it's turned into 1984. We have this Orwellian culture at college campuses. And a lot of this is the result of movements like Black Lives Matter, which tell lies that the police are systemically racist.
Right.
The colleges believe this, and especially the students. And if you say otherwise, it's deemed as hate speech.
But what if you offer facts, though? I mean, if you offer evidence, because if you have evidence on your side, and clearly there is evidence that police are not systemically killing black men or so on. If you present that isn't accepted. You just have to shut up and just get in line again.
Unfortunately, it is not accepted nowadays. It doesn't matter the facts anymore, because even when you look on Google, you cannot find the statistics, the actual ones regarding killings of the police over the past few years, they're very hard to find.
Right.
Because they show the opposite of what the Black Lives Matter agenda has put forth. And that is where we are in society, is that you can shut down speech if it doesn't agree to your entire agenda. So conservatives are finding themselves more and more throughout society silenced and having all of their ideas suppressed.
It's crazy to me. I mean, it's a crazy society. Thank God for people like you and everybody else over at campusreform.org opening our eyes to what's happening on campuses. This has been a slow burn where these far left-wing liberal progressives have indoctrinated the students over all these generations, and we're just finally waking up to it. So your organization and your fine reporting has done a whole lot to educate us. Thank you, Lacey. It's Lacey Kestisher. Make sure you go. Are you on the Twitters?
I am not currently on Twitter because
I don't blame you.
They are suppressing all of us and silencing all conservatives.
They are. That's true. And I only stay there to tweak Jack a little bit. But good for you. Go to campusreform.org. Check out everything that she does. And congratulations on graduating this year. Good job.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Have you? Thanks. I appreciate you. Carrie, yes or no?
No, you still haven't gotten the call.
No, yes or no to the other question.
Yes, you are old and mean today.
You realize what you just did just there shows who you really are. Well, you don't even play the victim very well, to be honest with you.
Oh,
yes or no,
on.
A or B?
What is the question?
You know.
Yes. You want to play the parody again?
Hey, look, if you say so.
Yeah.
Fine.
Okay. Such a good
one. Well, what I must have been
song.
Talking about, no? Come on. Come on, people. Pag's parody. He's gone. Yes, every voice in this song is mine. Let's go. I don't know why there's an extra couple of bars here. Should have just started there. It's weird. Everybody watch across the nation. Everybody wants to hear him make his case. Yeah. But what he said didn't make much sense. No. Come on, bring it, people. It's plain to see. Joe couldn't keep on track. He's gone. Can't take more. Uncle Joe should be in a home. He's gone. By this time is up. He couldn't just pick out a reporter.
Can you pick somebody up?
Point to them and say, what's your question? He read a list that was given to him. Come on now. He's being abused, but he has no clue. He's gone, Uncle Joe, China Joe. Couldn't keep on track, he's gone. Can't take more, China Joe. Should be in a home, he's gone. Biden, his time is up.
That's what I do for you people.
It kind of cracks me up. You guys thought it was Gabby singing the high notes. That just kind of cracks me up.
I thought that was her. Wow.
That's what I do.
Listen,
it's been a while since we did a parody. Come on. Come on. Let's be honest. I compared that to the original. Daryl Hall called me. He said, how did you better what we did?
No, I don't think Daryl Hall.
He should invite me to Daryl's house. Have you seen that?
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I've seen some.
Isn't it awesome where he invites people to his house?
Love that. Yeah, that's good. I love Daryl
Hall. Let me say this. That guy is an amazing musician. I mean,
really
he can just play
is.
With anybody. He just knows it. He can sing the harmony. He just, and he still sounds
awesome.
Great.
I know.
He's got to be, what, 65, 70, something like that?
He's got to be knocking on 70, I guess.
Get it done. He's getting it done. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It's Omaha Steaks. Incredible steaks, incredible company, incredible stuff delivered to your door in a great a cooler. It's frozen immediately after they aged it and made it perfect. They put it in the cooler, send it to your house. It stays good for months in your freezer. And then when you thaw it out, it's perfect. I'm talking about their Butcher's Bestsellers package, which is what we just got at the Pags house recently. In there, you've got four incredible filet mignons, four ultra-juicy burgers, four savory pork chops, desserts, and so much more. You go right now to omahasteaks.com, enter my code PAGS, P-A-G-S, in the search bar for a special price on this Butcher's Bestsellers package. Plus, you'll get four more chicken breasts and four more of those delicious burgers for free. Omaha Steaks been getting this done the right way for over 100 years now. I want you to go to that website, omahasteaks.com, omahasteaks.com right now. And I want you to put in my name, PAGS, P-A-G-S, in the search bar. Get the Butcher's Bestsellers package, including the extra chicken breast, the extra delicious burgers, too. Joe PAGS, right there in the search bar. Get it done. Actually, PAGS, P-A-G-S. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. I don't really have time for any more phone calls, Carrie, because you forced me to play that parody. If you would have said no, I would have had time for phone calls.
And by the way, I looked it up. Daryl Hall is 74.
How is that even possible?
I know.
The heck, and he still sounds that good?
He sounds awesome.
Kind of amazing. All right, let's get some pop culture. Hey! Dirty pop. 74, that's crazy. But then again, Ted Nugent, 72, so that's amazing too. Paula, what's going on?
So when you were talking to that reporter, you know, we're talking about Twitter and everything. I don't know if you caught wind of this, but Chrissy Teigen has said that she's leaving Twitter for all the negative stuff, I guess, she sees in her timeline, you know, from the tweets and replies and mentions that she gets. You know, she just said that she's tired of it. And it's pretty crazy because she has over 13.7 million followers and she's quitting that.
Let me say this as clearly as I can. Chrissy Teigen is the reason for a lot of the hateful stuff that's being put out on Twitter. Some of the stuff that she's tweeted herself, I mean, she's really, you know, she's not one to speak is what I'm saying.
Right,
it's kind of nuts. We'll see if she actually does it, though.
I mean, she did. I mean, they're showing it now. Who knows if she'll come back? And she still has her account with Instagram. But it'll be interesting to see what happens.
All right, that's Polo, that's Sam, that is Carrie. I'm Joe. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
This is the Joe Pags Show.